due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for August 16th. Just one holiday today. It's National Tell-A-Joke Day.
This guy starts eating Rich's peanut donut.
And then I hear a knock-knock. You know how to tell the jokes. We'll find some in here during the next 2 hours, because we're going to be on 2 hours today, guys! Woo! 222-1280 Star
Trek. SummerSlam, baby. Woo!
SummerSlam, 2 hours on the Pain Clinic. And let me tell you real quick, birthdays today, really quick. A couple guys who passed away, so I guess they don't really get older when they're dead. But got Fritz Von Erich, who was the patriarch of the infamous Von Erich family. He would have been 85 today. And Dirty Dick Murdoch would have been 68. Both guys have passed, unfortunately, but they would, you know, today is their birthday, so we'll honor them. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts, the Light Empire at Culver. Join us for WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view tomorrow. That's right, tomorrow, August 17th, at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road, hosted by us. Drink specials all night long. That's WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view tomorrow, August 17th, at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. I would suggest getting there early. This is the WrestleMania of the summer, maybe. I don't know.
That sounds good.
Okay, sounds good. WrestleMania of the
$9.99.
Stop it. Stop it. And also, if you want into MMA, join us for UFC 177 at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. That'll be August 30th. That'll start at 10 o'clock. And unfortunately, there's a $5 cover. So we'll plan on that for August 30th right now. It's like Labor Day weekend. The last weekend of August is actually Labor Day is that Monday. So it's a long weekend. So you got plans, it's to be the first thing to do on the weekend, you know, come on, hang out with us.
An extra day to recover.
Yeah, an extra day to recover. That's what they say. And also, Bill Gray's is the home of the world's greatest cheeseburger. Check out one of their 14 locations. Ours is the favorite is in the Strong Museum of Play. Strong Museum of Play, right across the street here from the HSBC building, or is this the First Niagara building?
First Niagara building.
Is it the First Niagara building? Go check out our favorite one at Strong Museum of Play and our friend Jamie. There's something for everyone at Bill Gray's. Find the nearest Bill Gray's queue online at
Bill Gray's.
.com.
All right. Period. Okay, let me introduce the cast and crew of the show. So it's the first time in quite a long time we've had the whole crew here. Of course, I am the cash man, Richie Rich. I'm joined by DC Dan Cole. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning.
Be the ball, Danny.
No.
All right. Sitting at the Twitter spot right now is the boy who grew up on the show, Danger Boy.
Good morning.
Good morning. And to your left, our radio right, it's Mark Fantasia. Makes it back to the studio.
Good morning.
Might not make it back after this week eating my donut.
That's okay. Really apologize. I did not know that.
That's fine. It's funny because it shows you how much you haven't been here, because usually Danny gets me the peanutty one.
Oh, boy.
That's okay.
This is the last time I'll be on this show.
No.
Wait, does that mean you're going to take my donut away?
No.
Yes, eat the Cocoa Puffs donut.
Don't eat the Cocoa Puffs
there
donut.
There is a Cocoa Puffs donut. I will say that. But no, I will not. I'm just kidding. Believe me, someone else can, you know, have the diverticulitis issues because of the peanuts, not me.
I'm just staring at it now. I won't even eat it.
You eat it. Enjoy it. All right. And also joining us, the Artiste. How are you doing today, Mr. Artiste?
Good morning. I'm here. It's a slightly warmer day in Rochester. Is that true? I don't know. It was pretty cold yesterday.
It was pretty cold. Yeah. It's pretty cold today, too. I mean, honestly, it was chilly. Yeah, welcome. We know it's August 16th, but it feels like it could be October 16th.
Yeah.
Well, let's start the show. First of all, if you look out the window, every once in a while, you'll see a jet fly by. it's really pretty cool. There's the new, the Rochester International Air Show going on right now down at the airport, and those jets and planes are all flying by. We're on the 16th floor, so we get to see like a pretty good shot. You see, maybe we'll post some photos if we get some good close flybys. It's kind of scary though, still, but nevertheless, that's going on pretty cool. We got SummerSlam weekend. We got 2 hours to talk about SummerSlam, so I want your calls. 222-1280, star 1280 is the number. Let's start off by saying one thing. Mr. Ortiz, what's your thoughts on Kevin Steen and Triple H picture? Okay, there's a picture this week that came out. Kevin Steen obviously signed with WWE. We knew that a long time ago. There was a picture of him shaking Triple H's hand down at NXT in Orlando. Thoughts on that? What does that mean? What kind of statement does that make? And plus, you see how much bigger, how big he is compared to Triple H? How could they ever have denied that guy?
I don't know. Kevin Steen, I always considered him to be the best talent on the indies, period. From wrestling, from entertainment, from his improvisational skills. I can't even talk this morning. But, like, I was really hoping that he would get the chance, but I think probably always thought it wouldn't happen. Obviously, in recent years, we've seen a lot of indie talents make their way to NXT or WWE, and I think it's great. Hopefully they use him right. It was awesome to see the picture of him shaking hands with Triple H, to see The Rock and Steve Austin tweeting about it, and how Kevin Steen was immediately trending worldwide on Twitter as soon as they announced that the other day. So if you're not familiar with Kevin Steen, I highly suggest you go out and check out some DVDs of his stuff, because who knows what WWE will let him do. You know, I'd like to be optimistic about it, but you know, obviously a former Ring of Honor champion, PWG champion, 2CW champion, wrestled all over the world, used to team with Al Generico, who's now Sami Zayn. Now those two are both in NXT together. Would love to see them do something together down there. But I really, really happy for Kevin. Got to work with him a little bit in 2CW, and just phenomenal talent, and couldn't happen to a nicer dude.
Definitely. And I mean, and we've seen him wrestle. I don't know. I've seen every time I've gone, I've seen a Ring of Honor show.
Yep.
I've seen him wrestle, and
except for the brief time he was gone through his little feuding with Jim Cornette, because that's also, if you can check out like a Kevin Steen shoot interview or something, you might want to do that as well, because he doesn't like Jim Cornette due to their history in Ring of Honor. He also doesn't like one of his trainers in the Mountie, Jacques Rougeau. So there's some interesting stories out there as well.
Very interesting. Yeah. And, yeah, weren't you just up in Montreal?
Yeah,
this past week,
like a couple days ago.
Yeah, And did you see a Rougeau sightings?
No. You know, I was walking around the streets singing the Quebecers theme song, looking for Jacques and Pierre, but did not find them.
Well,
no. I did get some croissants and a crepe and stuff like that, but no Mountie sightings. So.
Very cool. 222-1280, star 1280 is the number. I'll try to get the phone before the rings too many times. I saw it ringing there a while ago. You can also text us at 222-1280, and we have the ability to text you back. I have to say that. I don't know why, but I have to say that, just so that people start, like, you know, are bombing us with texts saying terrible things. But nevertheless, text us what your thoughts on SummerSlam coming up. We got a huge pay-per-view this weekend. But let's talk about some other things. I'm glad about Kevin Steen. Are you guys familiar with Kevin Steen? I mean,
well, yeah, watching any kind of indie wrestling, you know who Kevin Steen is now. Yeah. And he's been around for a while, and it's a big signing, and I guess WWE knows it's a big signing, and I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, spends very little time in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I would say is I remember being at a Ring of Honor show. I believe it was February 2005 at the former favorite venue of mine in the world, the Rexplex in Elizabeth, New Jersey. They had a do or die event in the afternoon, so that's new talents that we're trying out. And some of the guys on that show were Antonio Banks, MVP, Vordell Walker, a bunch of others were on that show. I know Cheech was on that show, but I remember Kevin Steen. It was his first appearance in Ring of Honor, and he came out and he was really cocky, Mr. Wrestling. I thought the nickname was a little weird. And I remember seeing him and thinking, what's this guy's deal? And then as the years went on, he just progressed himself so much that he became hard to ignore.
Well, he's a guy like, and I'll put him in this category, like Daniel Bryan, who can put together a great match with anybody. Mm-hmm. You can put him in there with a little guy, you can put him there with a huge guy, and he'll figure out a way to make it entertaining as heck, and he will, and that's one good thing the WWE needs is more of these guys who can create these storied matches, not just go out and, you know, go through the motions every match, you know.
Right.
No,
absolutely.
Leg drop and then pin, boom, 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 you know, I mean, he's just a very versatile guy.
Well, the problem is that's how they do their matches on TV now.
On the pay-per-view, I mean...
Well, you get more time or in the house shows or whatnot, it's more entertaining. But when you see them on TV, they're told pretty much what to do.
As long as he doesn't come out as a new Quebecers, which...
I'd be fine with that.
That would be awesome.
I would be totally fine with that. Bring back Raven as Johnny Polo. My favorite Kevin Steen moments, real quick, two CW moments that come to mind. There was a fan in Potsdam or Oswego, I think it was Potsdam, that had a Kane mask on in the front row. So Kevin Steen stole the mask, put it on, and started acting like Kane and gave his opponent a choke slam. It's hilarious. He wrestled Michael Elgin on March 16th last year. It was 3/16 day, so their whole match was just trying to get stunners in. It was very hilarious. There's lots of moments like that that come to mind. The bottom rope broke in his match against Colin Delaney in Watertown last year, so they had to improvise without the bottom rope. Just he's quick on his feet like that. So he's somebody that I think not only is a good talent for himself, but someday could really be somebody that I think would be really good in helping mold new talents as well.
He sees the fan and what they would like, and he does that.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's got a vision like that. And unfortunately, most of the guys who maybe come into the WWE might get beaten down. Because they have that ability, and they have to get molded into what WWE likes.
But that's the ability they need to have to be able to play to the crowd. That's the ability Austin had. That's the ability The Rock had. Mm-hmm. Even with just the talking part, you have to be able to gauge the crowd. You watch Roman Reigns now; he's forcing it. You can tell he's forcing it.
Yeah.
He's not ready to do big time promos yet. He's not ready to wrestle big time matches either. But you know, he has the look, so they're pushing him down our throats as, you know, building up this main event thing. But he can't read the crowd yet. And that's a ability that people need to have, and I'm hoping with them hiring all these indie guys who know what they're doing, they're getting some more guys in. Ambrose,
you know, who's really good at reading the crowd too? Steve Corino.
Yes.
When he was in ECW, he was great at reading the crowd, and I think that's why he and Kevin Steen get along so well.
I know it's a good point, because him and Corino worked a lot together in Ring of Honor, so Corino's a big mentor to him. And also, you just mentioned Steve Austin, who, if you haven't heard, when Steen was on Austin's podcast a couple of months ago, Steen tells the story of meeting Steve Austin at the LAX airport in 2005, I think. And Austin, he just wanted one piece of advice, and Austin said, run your mouth. And Kevin Steen literally did that from that moment on, and that's what made his name out there, is he would run his mouth, and it worked.
He's one of the best talkers and promos that I've seen, especially in Ring of Honor.
Even with that French accent he has?
Well, and he said, he gives a lot of the credit to, I mean, he obviously grew up speaking French, and I guess a lot of the English he learned was from listening to Jim Ross do commentary.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Cool. He didn't even know English, but he learned it from Jim Ross.
So he's got the accent, but his English is...
That's why I said, you know, he'll be like a new Quebecer, because he's already got the accent, and he can speak English, but he talks like a, you know, like...
You're just getting my hopes up in a new Quebecer.
Artis, we got a text here asking if you saw La Résistance in Canada.
No. Oh, wow. Was that Rob Conway?
They were both coming out of Pat Patterson's house.
That's right. No. No, did not run into them.
No.
No, I ran into some people with those attitudes, I'll give you that. Man, when you get lost and you don't have a GPS up there, and some interesting.
1280 starts. We have a lot of stuff to talk about for SummerSlam. I did have a line on Paul Heyman coming on. It didn't work out. He's in Los Angeles right now, and he's doing media all morning for WWE.
We can talk about his DVD because I finally saw it.
Yeah, a bunch of you guys. We will definitely talk about that. But you guys have a question or a comment? 1280 starts. 1280. Let's go to break. With I've seen a bunch of interviews with this guy this past week, and he brought up some very good and very cool stuff. So looking forward to Daniel Bryan. But we'll have an update on his injury, as well as lots of news about SummerSlam. And even if we see a plane go by, we'll let you know. The air show is going on at the Rochester International Airport, and we're sitting on the 16th floor, and we're watching these stunt planes go by. It's really pretty cool. You should go down and check it out, definitely. But you should also come out and hang out with us tomorrow night, SummerSlam at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 Usage Road. We've got 2 hours today, dude, so we're going to just take it easy, not going to force things, or we're going to give everything its time. But we're going to have a good time, too, I promise you. 222-1280, Star 1280. We're going to break. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
But there's really, really one guy that I want to thank more than anybody else. Rick had his brother Scott. Hawk had his brother Animal. But I got the best damn tag team partner in the whole world. I got my brother D-Lon!
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist and TNA superstar Kurt Angle. And you're listening to The Pain Clinic. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with the Artiste, Danger Boy, Mark Fantasia, DC Dan Cole, and you. And I missed a holiday today. My good friend Mike Moran, webmaster to extraordinary. Boy, he built The Pain Clinic. If you ever check out our website, thepainclinic.net, he built that. And he's a very good man. And today is National Roller Coaster Day. Mike has a fundraiser for Alzheimer's Association that he does every summer where he rides roller coasters and gets lots and lots and lots of people donating money. So check it out.
I went in on that.
You went in on that? You want to ride all the roller? He goes all over the country. He was down in Dallas. He was everywhere.
Yes, I went in on that. I love roller coasters.
Yeah, so Mike, hey, Mike, give us a call. Tell us about, you know, how people can give money to you, because I'd love to have you come on just for a second and promote this, because it's a great fundraiser, and you're a good man for doing it, and you spend a lot of time, and it's well worth our time to give you some time. 222-1280, Star 1280 is the phone number. We are talking SummerSlam. We got a special 2-hour pain clinic today, so if you can't get in the first hour, we got a whole second hour for you. I really wish Heyman would have worked out today, but we're going to have Heyman on. We're going to talk about that DVD in just a second, but before that, we got a call from our friend Troy on the Salvatore's hotline. Troy, what's happening, brother?
Hey, guys. How you doing this Saturday morning?
We're doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing good. This is a beautiful Saturday morning. I'm going to start off by saying, you know who Dean Ambrose reminds me of? You remember the other crazy guy from Cincinnati?
Brian Pillman? No,
yes. Really? Yes. Mm-hmm. He reminds me a lot of Brian Pillman, the crazy style and everything, even almost the same beat almost.
He actually reminded me a lot of Abdullah the Butcher last Monday when he came out of the package. Because back in the 80s, Dusty Rhodes had a special gift given to him. I think it was Eddie Gilbert who gave it to him.
Oh, they did it with Abdullah the Sting, too.
Yeah, that's right. And they put him in a giant package, and he came out, and it was Abdullah the Butcher. But this time it was Dean Ambrose on Monday night. That was pretty cool.
They ruined it, though.
Yeah, they should push him like they did Brian Pillman. Now, I mean, I like that style right there. That's perfect for another thing I hate about, but why? How come everybody has to do the long stare now? The bad guys, you know, they got to stare long and all that, look mean. I mean, we know they mean.
You mean it's like a Randy Orton underwear model look? Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's staring now.
I don't know, because everyone doesn't get a mic for, you know how there's always like one person talks, then the other guy talks, then the other guy talks. They've kind of cut out the last person in that whole exchange, I think, at times. You know, especially when the music starts.
Mm. Like up to, like the guy from the Wyatt family, with the white T-shirt. I forgot his name.
Luke Harper. Rochester's own.
Yeah, they got him staring into space. You know, everybody can't pull it off like Randy Orton.
He's not a talker. Luke Harper is insane. You ever seen them crazy eyes he's got?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well, they got a lot of people doing that now. I mean, isn't that too much?
Not at all. I think Luke Harper plays his
some,
part
yeah,
well.
Luke Harper can get away with it. I think some people like Randy Orton who can actually talk, you know, or and Brock Lesnar doesn't say anything, which it kills me sometimes how, like, when he ended Raw, he ran around the ring, you know, just giving everybody the evil stare. And then, and then Heyman had to say something, you know?
Well, that's perfectly fine. He might yell again, and then we'll all think he's a little girl.
Yeah.
I don't know. Body language is a big part of it. I mean, if you think about, like, during the match, like, yes, if you got a microphone in your hand, then you don't need to waste time staring and stuff. But if you're in the middle of a match and you need to get your character going, I think it's something that they can all kind of use to their benefit.
Right. You know, I've been meaning to bring this up to you guys last time. I was the way The Undertaker got beat at WrestleMania, I think the only way he can come back is he has to come back as the American Badass.
Man, well, he might need to because he can't walk to the ring anymore.
Yeah, apparently he may not be ever be coming back again. I mean, I've heard that he's in sad shape. And, you know, I mean, his style killed him. You know, his style really had a lot to do with why he's not wrestling anymore because, you know, but I don't think, you know, if we do see him again, it'll be at WrestleMania. That'll be it. I mean, that's the only thing he showed up for the last, you know, 3 years now, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The only way he can come back since he got beat at WrestleMania is he has to come back as the American Badass.
They'll have like a stretcher. They'll have a stretcher match and they'll bring him out in the stretcher to start it, right?
Yeah, because that character is done. I mean, he got beat at WrestleMania, so he can retire that character. Just come back out on a motorcycle, whatever, challenge Brock like they usually do a few Mondays before WrestleMania. Yeah. That's the only way I could see him coming back.
It won't be a motorcycle. It'll be like a little motor scooter.
You know, we had Mick Foley on a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't get a real chance to ask Mick Foley how he looked because Mick Foley had seen him a couple of weeks ago. He came out to one of Mick's shows. And I really wanted to ask him how he looked, but he never really described it. Even in his post on Facebook, he never described how he looked. So, but I don't know. I mean, I think we're done with The Undertaker. I think we're just going to have to, you know, go on and say, you know, unless he comes to get revenge on Brock Lesnar at next year's WrestleMania, which could be a possibility. I'm getting the feeling that because Brock's still around, that may happen. But, you know, as long as he doesn't get knocked out in the middle of the match and kind of sleepwalks through the last, you know, 15 minutes of it. Kind of like what happened. If you watch the match again, you can see where he got the point where he got a concussion, and he's pretty much Brock is just calling the match at that point. And Undertaker looked kind of like a rag doll a few times when he was like, you know, when Brock was throwing him around. So he definitely was out. And you know, he had a severe concussion too. So at his age, you know, who knows what damage? I think he's done.
But you know, I really think he really got hurt. I think it was the second WrestleMania when he jumped on the table against Shawn Michaels. I think, he hurt his leg or something. That's when he really went down after that. I think he really hurt his leg, and he's never been the same since then.
Really? Well, you know, the second time he wrestled Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. He jumped on from the rope on the Shawn Michaels on the table.
Yeah, well, there was a time when
Shawn Michaels jumped on him on the table.
There was also a time when he also dove out of the ring and someone was supposed to catch him and didn't get him.
That was the first Michaels and Taker match. And
yeah.
That, I thought he was dead.
Yeah, he the way he landed, he looked like Superman going into like the ocean because the last thing you saw was his legs go as he was going down. So,
But this is going to be a good WrestleMania, though. To me, I think Triple H needs to grow his hair back. He doesn't look right with the short hair. It was good for a while, but to get the fans and everybody back to the Triple H mold, he needs to grow his hair back. That's just my opinion. What you think about that?
I don't care. Triple H doesn't need to ever wrestle again. I don't care. I do not care. So, you know what? He will wrestle.
I'm much more okay with Triple H wrestling these days than The Undertaker wrestling these days.
Oh, I'll take that, too.
Because Triple H can still go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, those Evolution Shield matches, you can tell that he was still moving good. But, yeah, Taker, I don't even want him to come back even for a WrestleMania because, in my eyes, the streak's over. So he can come back for a SummerSlam, and that's just the same to me now. The streak's over, so it doesn't have to be a WrestleMania.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Since the streak is over, that's why he should come back as the American Badass. That's the only way he can come back, really, because he was beaten at his own WrestleMania.
That does bring back, you know, Kid Rock can come back and perform again.
Oh, God. Better him than Flo Rida.
But I would love to see him come back as the American Badass since he lost as Undertaker at the WrestleMania. I see him coming back on the motorcycle. Because Brock Lesnar.
Dude, you got Undertaker on your mind. Let's go talk about something else.
You should just go watch WrestleMania 17.
I didn't bring that up last time we talked. It was a few weeks ago.
Sure.
So I had to get that off the shelf. And then also, like I said, I wanted to bring up the Dean Ambrose. He does remind me of Brian Pillman.
He reminds me more of, I think, of Roddy Piper, a bigger, tall Roddy Piper. And it's funny, though, that Piper was there, but Piper is a lot smaller than you think. Because, I mean, we had him up in the studio. I thought he was a lot. I always thought he was a big guy.
I thought he was a lot taller than I thought he would be a lot taller than he is.
You would think so.
How tall is Piper?
I don't know. He's like 5'8", maybe 5'9".
Wow. 5'10".
Yeah, he's not a big guy. So,
I thought he was like 6'2" or so.
Yeah, he's shrinking. With
actually, Hogan's shrinking. If you could see,
he's 6 foot tall.
Yeah,
That's according to his official bio.
That's with the 2 inches of rubber heels he's got.
I'm just 6 foot tall and I'm taller than
Crash Holly. Thank you for calling, brother. We got to run. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Take easy, buddy. All right.
I was watching the network yesterday, and I was reminded the Big Boss Man was 6'6", and that's one of the heights that always surprised me, because I never thought, they never really worked him as like a giant guy.
They used to bill Hogan as 6'8".
Hell, Hogan's shrunk. Hogan's shrunk. You obviously can tell.
The Big Boss Man said he was 6'7". I was like, oh, there's got to be more than 1 inch of exaggeration there. Billy Gunn was really tall. Well, is really tall.
Yeah, he hasn't shrunk yet.
But it was never billed as like this super tall guy.
Kane, I met him in the studio. He's legit his size. He's definitely, because I'm 6'3", and he definitely.
Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett is legit his side. Hopefully we'll see him back soon. He must be. Luke Harper is legit. But you know what? A lot of guys like Chris Jericho wear those 2-inch rubber heels.
You know, I got to be honest. I actually thought, and I think Danny said it too, when we finally got to see Luke Harper face to face, I actually expect him just to be a little bit taller from what I saw on TV.
Really?
Personally, I thought he was going to be taller.
He is 6'8", legit.
6'7".
Sorry. 2'2", 1280.
Great reach for a first baseman, let me tell you.
Star 1280.
Cram into a little vehicle.
All right. Star 1280 is the number. And right now, I'm sure that the festivities are going on over in Los Angeles. They're doing like a big, kind of like a big press conference.
It's 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, maybe it's not.
How do all these tall wrestlers deal with flying every day? That's what I want to know.
What about the big ones?
Like
what about
being 6'2" in an airplane. I'm like, I have no leg room. Like, how do you do this every single day?
222-1280, star 1280. If you can answer that for the RTC, definitely like it. We got Rick from Rochester. What's up, Rick?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good. A lot of them travel. They don't always take bus or airplanes.
No, but most of the WWE guys, like Abdullah Butcher wrestles in Toronto. He's flying to Toronto, you know? This guy is like, you know, 500
pounds. Luke Harper was just wrestling in Australia last week.
Yeah, Luke Harper had to fly across the ocean.
Let's just say Great Khali, like, how does he
great
fit on a plane? Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they check him and put him below the plane.
Yeah, I was going to say, pack him up in a box and they send him, so.
I got a few things on my mind. As far as Hogan's birthday celebration, I was kind of disappointed that the Sting didn't come out. Now that he's kind of doing a Legends thing and doing different promos and things for him.
That one's stolen the thunder.
They're saving him for maybe even SummerSlam or something after. They definitely want to debut him out when people aren't expecting it. So, yeah,
what a waste of a segment that was.
That whole birthday segment was to get John Cena over against Brock Lesnar. That's all it was for.
So many awkward things. Yeah. Paul Orndorff, I think, was the most awkward.
I love that mustache. Speaking of mustaches, yeah. Paul Orndorff, man, that's awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's like a walrus.
I like the polo that was under the his robe.
Under his robe, yeah.
Polo, he just got done golfing.
Did you like this song?
That's a great theme song.
They're wonderful.
Can I buy that on iTunes?
I bet you can.
So uncomfortable.
And then he runs back up the stage.
A few other things kind of stole my thunder about Bad News Barrett. What's the update on his status?
I have not heard anything. He had shoulder surgery, so when the injury happened, I don't know. I'm sure he's got another month or two before he can come back, and which kind of reminds me. I kind of teased Daniel Bryan and a little bit of an update. He did an interview yesterday where he still hasn't had his second surgery, and they may not make him have the second surgery. If he has his second surgery, he's going to be out another 3 months from now. If he doesn't have it, he can come back any time now. So it all depends on what the doctors say. They did some more tests on him. So Daniel Bryan could be back as soon as like a week or two.
Spending too much time with the therapist.
What's that?
Spending too much time with his therapist.
Therapist who's a pro wrestler who trained by Lance Storm.
Was it me or was that pretty much almost like TNA's little AJ Styles and
it was
Lynch to the T.
It was terrible.
It looked like her.
it was terrible.
Although kudos to Stephanie for the whole yes, yes thing.
Yeah. Now, when NWO came out, kind of marked out a little. I'm glad that Scott Hall is actually finally back on the wagon.
Is he back on the wagon? I mean, how can you tell just because he's on TV?
Well, I mean, obviously Vince wouldn't, you know, bring him in and things like that, bring him to different events and the Hall of Fame if he is at least, you know, cooperative backstage and kind of,
well,
you
always,
know, being good.
He's always good with the WWE. He's always cooperative. He knows he knows where the butter, his bread is buttered. But when he a couple weeks ago, he no-showed a show or he was very uncooperative with people. So he's still got kind of the... He's still kind of doing some stupid stuff, but
his promo was good. He sounded
pretty good.
He went right through.
Do a little
thing.
Survey
Got
here.
A little survey.
Yeah, you'll hear that a little bit later on the soundbite. So,
and one other thing, are we? You know, have we seen the last of Roman Reigns coming out and kind of doing anything with Dean Ambrose? Kind of, or they truly, you know, separated themselves from each other?
They haven't done anything together since pretty much right after Rollins beat him up.
Well, no, there was a one tag that they were together, and I can't remember why they tagged. It was like a three-man tag at the end of a show with those two guys and some and John Cena maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't. And that's about the last time you're going to see them together. They're all doing their own thing, you know.
But I'm sure they'll get back together sometime, maybe next year, hopefully all three of them.
Well, they did mention that they were going to be kind of like reunioning like NWO did or like the... Like, you know, DX. So who knows when? I mean, I'm not going to make any bold predictions. Those boys, they need to either sink or swim right now, and they're in a position where they can do either. So it's like we'll see how they do after, I mean, the next few months.
All right. I'll catch you later. You guys have a great show. You guys are on until noon?
On until noon, Rick.
And Heyman's on today or no?
No, he's not. We couldn't get it. Couldn't work it out. He's in L.A. doing media and stuff.
He's not in his parents' basement in Long Island?
He is not, but he will be. There's some great things about that DVD. We'll talk about that before we
A lot of great
things for calling, Rick.
All right.
We'll see you tonight, brother. I'm going. I'll see him someplace tonight. 222-1280 Star-1280 is the phone number.
You should have cut the cash dash for that.
Yeah, going to a bachelor party. The dude's getting married. I was going to congratulate
him. Bachelor party, woo!
Yeah. So, if you see me out tonight, stay out of my way.
Oh.
let's talk a little bit about the Heyman DVD. You guys watched it. I mean, did you know, the one thing that really surprised me, the fact that came out of it, is that Paul Heyman was very close to buying Strikeforce. I didn't have no idea that he had any interest in buying Strikeforce at one point.
And apparently he was real close to buying it.
Yes, and because he was going to actually have Brock fight on it.
Yes.
Amazing stuff that came out. What was the most shocking revelation you've seen from the Paul Heyman story?
I personally said to Danger Boy in the break that the part that Flash Funk, when he went over, when Too Cold Scorpio went over to WWE as Flash Funk, they had to pay royalties, or what was it, $1,000, because that's the money that they would have been getting for the certain band that was playing Too Cold Scorpio's music to the ring. That's the only money he ever took.
Yeah, from Tommy Boy Records, he was getting $1,000 a week to flash it up there and say thank you. And so Vince goes, "I'll give you $1,000 a week," and it wasn't for Heyman. It was for it went to the parent company, the HHG company. And Heyman goes, "That's the only money we took from Vince the entire time was $1,000 a week to make up for the sponsorship that we lost not having Too Cold Scorpio."
I hope somebody got the $1,000 royalties for the Flash Funk theme song, too, because
yes,
that was a good one as well.
Oh, I'm going to have to go dig it out, bro. I'm going to find it here during the break.
You are so funky.
Okay, so so any other revelations that blew you away?
For me personally, it was the first 15 minutes or so just talking about his way getting into the business, sneaking backstage and making up lies of, why he should be there.
Remember what we said last weekend about that?
Yeah.
we were talking about it last weekend, and we said that maybe, you know, because until someone questions you whether you should be there, you just go and do it.
And apparently he's able to think on his feet, too, because when Dusty questioned him, Dusty Rhodes, when he was in a talent meeting, he pretty much just said, "Because I want to learn from you." And it worked.
It's incredible.
And he got in there.
Yeah, those are the stories that really, really stuck out to me. I mean, it was just...
That, and I never knew he actually got a settlement large enough from WCW when he got fired to fund ECW.
Yeah. Or his portion of it.
His portion.
Todd Gordon.
Todd Gordon, he bought out Todd Gordon, and his parents were paying. His parents were his investors.
Oh, really?
How about the...
His father was a doctor, so...
Okay. We shouldn't spoil the whole thing.
Father was a lawyer.
Okay, yeah, a lawyer, sorry.
But we'll just put it this way. I also was pretty shocked to find out about the certain person that he fired from ECW. So you should watch the DVD to find out who.
Yeah.
Let's not give away the whole thing. But
definitely not.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
and the reasoning behind it.
He's got such a history in every company, every major company in North America, and, you know, ECW, WCW, WWE, WWF, so definitely check it out. Going to go to this break here right now. 222-1280 Star-1280 number. A little Flash Funk for you, bro.
Oh,
Sports 1280 WHTK.
me tell you about how every time I try to dream, when I close my eyes, all I hear is their scream. About my reoccurring nightmare that happens over and over and over again. But never once, Chris, did I claim to be a savior.
Hey, it's The Miz from the WWE on Sports Radio 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Click. I'm the Cashman. We're here with the artiste, Mark Fantasia, DC Dan Cole, and Danger Boy, and you. And thank you for listening. And we got 2 hours today, 2 hour special SummerSlam preview. We haven't even talked about SummerSlam barely yet, but I want you to know you can come hang out with us and watch it. It's Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. That's tomorrow. It starts at 8 p.m. Get there early if you want a good seat. Hang out with us. Be trot prizes and drink specials all night long. That's WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view tomorrow at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. Definitely looking forward to it. You guys, we're going to have a good time. I know that there's certain matches we're all looking forward to, and certain ones that I could care less about. I mean, that anybody could care less about. But give us a call. 222-1280, star 1280 is the phone number. We're going to take calls all day today. We got Pete from Rochester. Pete, what's happening, brother?
Yeah, I want to weigh in on the Heyman DVD. I'm a big original ECW mark and all that, and I enjoyed the DVD. I thought it was good. I thought it wasn't great, but, you know, I've listened to a lot of, like, guys from, you know, interviews and whatnot, and from the ECW DVD that even WWE put out, and, you know, they said, you know, Paul Heyman, you know, he lied to the wrestlers and all that, but he didn't lie to the fans, and you kind of get that, you know, he's kind of a con man, you know, and I don't know, what do you guys think of that, you know, it felt like he's kind of gassing himself up. I felt like he did really good within the industry, but, you know, WWE kind of hired him and used him for what he was great for, and, you know, there's a lot of disdain for him, you know, even Chris Jericho wrote about it in his book. He was like, he wrote a fake doctor note for a fake flight or something of that nature. What do you guys think?
Heyman's got that part of his history because he was deceitful to get into the business, to be honest with you, from the beginning, sort of, you know, by, you know, just sneaking in and doing stuff, you know, underhanded. And there's points in ECW's history where he wasn't paying people or he owed a lot of people money. In fact, when they went belly up, they had a huge, you've seen the laundry list from what each person was owed. And I think Rob Van Dam was owed the most money. And when WWE bought the rights, they had pretty much had to pay off, I think, all those people that were owed to get the company. But they did it because it was fairly inexpensive to get the whole library and everything. And now that's why we can watch it on the WWE Network. You can watch any of their pay-per-views.
Tommy Dreamer made a good point in all of that, where it does not excuse Heyman not paying people, but ECW would have folded a long time a lot earlier had he paid everybody that. But the way Dreamer put it, there's no contracts. You're not getting a paycheck, but you're still showing up to work. That's your choice.
That was the big thing I took away.
Yeah, it was like a family situation type of that everybody wanted the product to grow. So that also speaks a lot to Heyman, not the financial part, but what he was building in his vision, that people would keep showing up to work even though they're owed this much money because they believed in Heyman and his product.
Yeah, and there's probably lots of times, I haven't seen the DVD yet, though you guys have, there's probably lots of times where Paul Heyman admits to being deceitful about certain things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He admits it. Everyone they talk to admits that he was. But at the same time, he goes, I did what I had to make it go from day one, day two. He goes, and it was interesting to find out that the last 6 months ECW was alive was probably the highest revenue they had, but the problem was they couldn't get on TV.
Yeah, they lost
because they needed their niche marketing, and Spike TV picked up WWE, and no one else would pick them up.
And they were very, and even Vince McMahon apparently tried to help them find another network too.
Well, Vince loved what he was. Vince knew he was good at building talent.
And Heyman was losing more money than anybody else. Heyman was not taking a paycheck from ECW, so he wasn't Scrooge McDuck at home swimming in gold coins.
And the one thing I liked was when he came to WWE right before the invasion era, why he came over. I'm not going to spoil anything from the DVD for you to watch it, but what he did selflessly for the other guys, he had his heart in the right place. Yeah, he did some dirty things, but like Dreamer said, you showed up because you wanted to be there because you knew that it was a good product. So yeah. It's funny that people complain nowadays. You hear all the old ECW guys complaining, but you had a choice to not go there.
True. And I mean, and there's like people like Rob Van Dam had a legit gripe when you see how much money he was owed at the end. And
but Rob Van Dam's his biggest supporter.
He is too. And Rob Van Dam said, you know, I understand why I'm not getting paid. I just want to be paid. And thank goodness Rob didn't need the money that desperately. But yeah, I don't know. And Heyman, I mean, I'm looking forward to having him on. I cannot wait to get the guy on. First time in the history of the show. The closest we ever had to having him on was Andrew the Authority bumped into him at a bar in Buffalo after an ECW show and got him to say he would come on, and that never happened. But that was a long, long time ago. But
And for those of you who haven't seen the DVD yet, find some place to stream it if you can. I watched it on the Amazon Fire on my Kindle because it's not available in any of the stores. You can't find it right now. It's sold out. It's not even available for shipping on Best Buy. You can't even get it back ordered or anything like that on BestBuy.com. It's selling like crazy. Amazon, you might still be able to buy it, but last time I looked, they only had 2 copies left.
Pete, what do you think? I mean, you asked us our opinions. What do you think about, you're being a lifelong ECW fan. What, do you feel that they paint over him being such a terrible person at times?
No, not at all. I thought it was an awesome DVD, and you know what's funny? I went to one of the last DVD stores, CD stores in the area, which is FYE at Grease Ridge, and they sold out of it too. Well, I bought it right away, and then I tried to Devo it for store credit like 2 days later, and they were like sold out of it. They said like, I wish you would have came back with this an hour later because, you know, people are looking for this, you know, like they sold out of it. You know, I was sure. Trying to just get store credit and all that, but thanks for taking my call. And I'll end a good note on ECW original. If you guys haven't watched Tommy Dreamer TV, I know it was old, but I watched it's on YouTube, and he does a Halloween episode where he opens the door, his wife or somebody opens the door, and he's like imitating different wrestlers. But check out Tommy Dreamer TV. It's like one of the funniest things I've seen a wrestler do. So check it out, and thanks for taking my call again.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks. Take it easy.
Yeah, I just had a lot of those YouTube shows kind of went away because that was one of the good ones.
Just real quick, I wanted to do a quick little search. Went to Amazon. I have Prime. I have to wait like 1 or 2 days if I want to order something.
Yeah.
Usually ships within 1 to 2 months.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
See,
wow.
I think they addressed
it. Somebody said Media Play at Southtown has a few copies left, though.
Really?
Wait. I see what you're doing there.
Yeah, we're trying to get them out to Southtown for no place. 222-1280 star 1280 is the phone number. You can text us. You know, there used to be one in Eastview too, wasn't there?
The giant FYE in Eastview with the arcade. Yes, yeah. My childhood. Yeah. I miss that arcade. Sad.
So yeah,
maybe like having a moment of silence
like
about it.
What is there, like a women's clothing store there now or something?
Who knows?
Messed up.
Who knows? It's crazy. That's a place where you'd walk in one side and come out the other, and you're not sure where you're parked compared to where, because it was like smack in the middle of the place. But 222-1280 star 1280. I'm just looking over quickly.
There's one other injury note that we didn't get to
Texas.
Kind of sad.
Happened last night, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
The TNA
yeah.
House show last night. Davey Richards of the Wolves suffering a broken leg. So best wishes go out to him. He just made his 2CW return a week ago in Oswego. Really good dude, and put on a phenomenal match against Captain Nick Ando, the champion of 2CW last week. So they're already talking about booking the rematch, but apparently that's going to have to wait a while with Davey's broken leg last night in Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Which is horrible for what they're planning towards with TNA.
Yeah, the way
being
they set
tag champion. And, yep.
Well, the way they set up last week's show, too, with the Hardys and the Dudleys and them in a three-way. Though TNA has taped all their shows up till this quote-unquote end of their TNA contract, our TNT contract.
So they got a month and a half.
Sorry, Spike TV. What am I thinking?
TBS.
TBS. No, Spike TV. They have enough shows to go to the end of their contract. But we had huge news this past week that they're moving to Wednesday. They're starting next week. They're going to be on Wednesdays.
Moving to Wednesday. And there was also news that Kevin Kay, the head of Spike TV's Spike TV, was shaking hands and introducing himself backstage at the last tapings.
Yeah, to all the wrestlers.
Yes.
Yeah, not just the people in charge.
Because he's going to be their owner soon.
Oh, you think so?
I think that's where this is going.
Going the Ring of Honor route.
Do you think they'll stay on Spike just on Wednesdays?
Yeah, but from now on, they'll be on Wednesdays if they're going to stay on. So, and it's okay. I don't have a problem with that. Put it in the middle of the week. I mean, the only thing it competes with really is that WWE's main event on their network.
No, they do that on Tuesdays, yeah.
Oh, it's on Tuesdays? I'm sorry.
Yeah, live on Tuesdays now.
That's right. It used to be on Wednesdays on the ION channel when it was on.
And NXT is on Thursdays, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, beautiful.
SmackDown will be on Thursdays, too.
You can get, apparently SmackDown's moving. That's why this was done as a preemptive strike, because SmackDown will probably be moving to Thursdays real soon, the announcement.
And WWE blundered with that one because they put it on the side of their production vans before they ever actually announced it.
Yeah, WWE's trucks that, go from town to town when they got 15 trucks outside your arena. Well, one of them says SmackDown Thursdays at 8. And it was just redone recently. So
yeah, they were just all repainted last week.
So we're going to have Thursday night SmackDown. I don't know when it's going to start. Probably in the fall. And it's funny is that Edge's show is moving to Thursdays, too, the one that Edge is on that used to follow wrestling. Yeah. Maybe it'll be following wrestling again on Thursday nights, too.
And then he'd be by football on Thursdays.
Yeah, there's a lot of announcements to come out. That means Friday night will be the night without wrestling, then.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. You're right. Friday night's a tough night.
I had other stuff going on Friday night, so I'm happy with all these moves.
I watched more SmackDown when it was on Thursdays than when it has been on Fridays.
Oh, absolutely.
222-1280 star 1280 is the phone number. Give us a call if you have an opinion on this.
I hope TNA gets the extension because it's been a much better product as of late, and the fact that it's in the Manhattan Center, it just makes a world of difference. It is
great matches.
Don't ever go back to the Impact Zone.
Yes.
Stay
away from Orlando.
Yes.
I don't think they can go back, though. I think that we got to go to break. 222-1280, Star 1280. I don't know if this has a place on the show at all, but it's really sad news this past week when Robin Williams passed away. I was a huge Robin Williams fan. I remember him from the very beginning, and it was just real sad that someone prominent like him would have like a problems enough, that his depression, would lead him to suicide. And if you guys just remember that there's always someone out there ready to listen to you. Don't ever think you can end it to take, to solve your problems, because you're hurting a lot of other people. And Robin Williams, left us with a lot of smiles. And I was really kind of bummed most of the week about this. What do you guys think? You guys fans of Robin Williams?
I didn't know where to start with what I wanted to watch.
Here.
Yeah.
Good Morning Vietnam, Hook,
his Live Patch on Broadway, Adams, or Broadway.
Good Will Hunting, the Live on Broadway special, which is still one of my favorite comedy movies, DVDs to watch.
I watched Good Morning Vietnam last night.
Yeah, it's a sad loss, and he was a great man, and it's like I was saying, if you're out there and you have problems, there's
or
ways
Jumanji.
Out.
I forgot Jumanji.
What about
I might watch Flubber this week.
I actually saw World According to Garp, the premiere when it came out. I was actually in the theater when I saw that. And that was, okay, we're talking the early 80s.
I actually forgot he was in Aladdin, or the voice in Aladdin.
Yeah.
Genie.
So, I forgot all about that.
222-1280, Star 20's number. We're going to go to break. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
Randy got me 2 weeks ago. He left me lying. But he claims I stole something from him. I've never stolen anything from Randy Orton. But this Sunday at SummerSlam, I'm taking everything from him. And he claims the Viper's back. What's a viper when you knock its fangs down its throat? A worthless little worm. Believe that.
Don't get burnt.
All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. That's so funny. I'm the Cashman. I'm here with PC Dan Cole, Danger Boy Artiste, and Mark Fantasia, and you.
No, we were just, commenting on the music you're playing and talking about the King of Swing and just how WWE can't make up their freaking mind if they want to push the guy or if they don't want to push the guy.
Yeah.
Because his match tomorrow is not too promising. Oh,
between him and then the Bo Dallas thing and then the Nation going away and all that.
Adam Rose,
yeah.
222-1280 Star 1280. We got just a couple minutes.
Eva Marie got a match on.
She had a match on SmackDown, too.
Isn't that scary? She actually beat the champion.
Now she's entitled to a title match.
I think
it's the first time we ever heard Eva Marie's theme music. She's hopefully the last. Yeah. Yeah, she had it when
she's still around. Real quick, though, speaking of Eva Marie, I have to get this in. Jack Swagger doing a Twitter Q&A to build up SummerSlam.
Jack Swagger.
Someone asked Jack Swagger who his favorite Total Divas star was. He said, wait, there's stars on that show?
Oh. Oh.
Hey, you know what?
Hey, yo.
He's not lying. I'm sorry. Sadly, you know, me and Artiste enjoy the show, but it's awful.
I miss it. No, it is awful, and that's probably why I miss it so much. It's so bad that you can't look away.
It is pretty terrible, and but you know what? And we'll be getting the third season not too far from now because they've already put out a press release about it coming out soon, and we get to what's her name joining them.
Rosa Mendez, the laughing stock of the Divas division.
Apparently. The one we never see wrestle, the one we never seen on TV in a year. I think she showed up.
I just wonder how some of these people keep jobs and others.
And Drew McIntyre was
fine.
I would rather see JTG still with a job.
Are you disappointed because your buddy, Rico Rodriguez, got
free? Yeah, my buddy. Get out of here.
Yeah,
is there sarcasm there?
Oh, yeah.
With Alberto Del Rio getting fired this past week, you'd think that those two guys both being released would be able to, pair up. Yeah. But maybe not. Apparently, Alberto Del Rio will be wrestling, believe it or not, on a Triple A pay-per-view.
Well, it's not official that he's going to be wrestling. He said he's showing up and he wants to wrestle, and he made an open challenge or a challenge to somebody. But he will be on the Triple A paper.
It's going on the same exact time as SummerSlam.
Yes.
Can't Del Rio not wrestle in the States for like a year?
Yeah, if he breaks his deal with WWE, can't wrestle in the United States for a year, and he loses all revenue from...
which sucks for TNA because they wanted to bring him in and make him champ immediately.
Yeah, but they're going to have to wait a while. But we got to get out of here. We got another hour, folks. We will talk a lot of SummerSlam, I promise. Got most of the news out of the way early. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
I just want to take a little survey. Now, how many people here at Raw came to see Hulk in the red and yellow? Or did you like him better when he was rocking that black and white in the NW? Survey says one more. For the good guys.
This is Y2J Chris Jericho, the hero of the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Morning, wrestling fans, and welcome back to the Pain Clinic, hour number two. Two. One, two. HP two. I'm the Cashman Rich Rich. I'm here with the Artiste. Good morning, Artiste.
Good morning.
Again. Mark Fantasia.
Good morning.
Sporting the Tux tee.
I dressed up for the double show.
We got to get a group pics before we leave. Danger Boy, sporting the Bills cap.
Got to support the team tonight.
And DC Dan Cole.
Beat those Steelers.
SummerSlam, baby. Woo!
SummerSlam. Take a quick call, but I got something to play. A little audio I want to play. I thought it was kind of amusing. But before we do that, we've got Steve in Bristol who has a question. 222-1280.
Old school SummerSlam.
Is the old school SummerSlam. 222-1280. Star 1280 is the number if you want to call us or if you want to text us at that number.
Paul Heyman video. How much is that?
Uh-oh. How much is the Paul Heyman video? DVD?
If you can find it, $20.
Yes. Yeah. $20 if you can find it. If you rent it on...
How long does it last?
2 hours. Two hours before the extras.
I was going to say, that's just the documentary. Yeah. Then there's a whole bunch of extras.
Well, that's... that's good because I just knew him as a, you know, kind of a heel, but a wrestling manager. I knew he was heavily involved in ECW. I didn't realize he owned it, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He pretty much owned ECW. He was doing a lot. He did a lot of writing for Vince on SmackDown when they first went to the brand extension.
Yeah, I mean, he started in WCW. Yeah. I mean, that's one of his. I mean, but before that, even Smoky Mountain, I think he was in.
But I knew he was tied in with Tommy Dreamer and Raven and them.
That's right.
And I'd like to say I heard last week after you guys signed off, Soccer Sam say goodbye, and I remember him as I am Dr. Love, and I have more women than the beach has sand.
And his lips are in constant demand.
I love that character. Is there any chance he might come back once in a while on your show? Yeah. And are you guys going to take his time slot or the, you know, the 11 to 12 hour and make a 2 hour pain clinic?
You know what? We're doing that this week. I'm not really sure about the future. That's to be said still. Yeah, you know, if the thing is Soccer Sam and Dr. Love were the same person, I guess.
What?
I said if they were the same person, maybe that would open him up to coming back. But it also would entail, too, that he has to watch you know, and understand what's going on.
Don't
you know.
Tell me I've been swerved for 16 years now.
Yes, no. Yeah,
I remember Rich. I remember Andrew the Authority Joseph and, of course, Dr. Love. And then it goes back to the, you know, your early days. And I, everyone's done a great job you've had in that show, Rich. I got to tell you, it's been really good entertainment. My last thing is Robin Williams. Yeah, I'm sorry. I watch most of his movies. Now, he just released one that was released just before his death called Angriest Man in Brooklyn.
Yes.
And at the end of it, he dies off the Brooklyn Bridge. I haven't seen it. Now I'm going to have to see that. So, but great show, guys. I'm hoping that Del Rio gets on the impact zone, by the way.
That'd be nice.
I say fire to him.
Well, you know, I mean, he did. You know what? I understand why he did what he did. They actually have the name of the person that he slapped. And apparently, he would have just been suspended if he hadn't hit the guy so hard. Apparently, he hit him so hard, serious. He must have like left a hand mark on his face and a bruise or something.
And
but
supposedly, the guy threatened to sue as well.
Yeah, he said.
What did he say to Del Rio to piss him off? You want
to know what he was telling the friends? This, get this. This is what I read, and I don't know how true it is, but
it's come out from multiple sources.
Yeah,
too.
What it was is they were at lunch, and someone told them to clean his plate off, and he said, "Well, that's Alberto Del Rio's job," and he was telling it to his friends, and so one of his friends went and let Alberto Del Rio know this guy was slamming him. I mean, he was like, it was an ethnic slur, I assume, you know. I mean, it was a terrible thing to say, and so he went up to him and he said, "You're going to apologize to me for that." And he said no, and then he smiled at him, and then apparently Alberto Del Rio lost it and just whacked him one.
Boy, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, did you see, right, in the,
guys,
back
thanks,
in the days,
thanks so much.
Back in the days of Dr. D. David Schultz, he could have gotten away with that maybe
as long
a little
as it
bit.
Wasn't national TV.
Yeah, it wasn't John Stossel. You're doing okay, but you know, but when someone threatens, especially when it's a publicly traded company, when someone threatens, you know. But we kind of hinted as we were going to break that. Alberto Del Rio is now going to be wrestling Sunday night or be on a pay-per-view, AAA pay-per-view from Mexico. It's going to be on an internet pay-per-view, but in Mexico it's going to be on the TV, on the cable system.
El Patron.
And he has a new name, El Patron. Maybe he likes Patron. You know, that isn't that whiskey? Or not whiskey, it's tequila.
It's a good tequila.
It's a good tequila. So I think that,
is it really a good tequila?
It is. It's very good. It's very, really good, very good. Very good expensive tequila. Don't question it. But the thing is, it's come out that, you know, I don't know, a lot of people, Conan went nuts. You know Conan, who used to be in WCW? He was Max Moon in WWF. You remember Max Moon?
I didn't know if we were talking about the Barbarian or the talk show.
No, yeah. Neither of those
K-Dog.
Guys. We're talking about what was the group called? The Dirty?
The NWO?
No.
LWO?
No, the Dirty
the
Animals.
Filthy Animals.
Filthy Animals.
He was part of the Filthy Animals.
He was in the Wolfpack, too.
Yes, he was. He has a
that's unfortunate.
He has a podcast. He has a podcast where he alleged there's a lot of racism in WWE to this day still. And he's calling out a lot of people's names.
To be fair, he's alleged there's a lot of racism everywhere. Since
how does he know it's in WWE
job?
Right now?
Because he has a lot of friends who work there, he says.
He knows Ray.
But even
Ray hasn't been there in a year.
Sure. What if Ray doesn't talk to him anymore? Like, I don't... But even so, they made Ray a champ. They made Del Rio a champ. So how can he really say
MLW, Major League Wrestling's website, that he does his podcast on. If you want to listen to it, he calls out people. He calls out people all the time. So I guess it makes it entertaining. You know, he's like the Iron Sheik of podcasts.
Just got to try to stay relevant.
You got to try to stay relevant. Okay, we got 222-1280 Star 1280 number. We have a call from Carl from Hamlin. Carl, what's up, brother?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, not pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing. I just wanted to call and give a quick shout-out to Mark Fantasia. Mark, I don't know if you remember me, but I was the security guy at Boardwalk. You were my favorite act.
Oh, well, thank you. Carl, what's up, buddy?
You got me talking about Carl. Mark.
Good to see you.
You know, this is...
You started something, Carl.
Yeah.
This is precisely why I can't stand being in a band
Katie
with Mark.
Told me to come to play.
Everybody talks about Mark. No one talks about the rest of his band.
What about the drummer? I love the drummer.
First of all, this past week, I actually, when Danny sang with me, I go, ladies and gentlemen, we are Mark Fantasia. And Danny goes, no, we're not.
Good.
But yeah, no, I was just driving and I caught you on the radio and I'm like, you know, I gotta give him a call and say hi, see how he's doing.
Thanks for calling in, brother.
Thanks for calling, Carl.
Yeah, not a problem. Hey, you have a good one, Mark. All right.
You too, man.
And
nice talking to you, Carl. You know, I live in Hamlin now too.
And the drummer from Mark Fantasia. Have a good day.
Fantasia.
I'm going to change. That's how people have to find me on Facebook. I won't be listed under my real name. I'll be the drummer from Mark Fantasia.
222-1280, star 20 is the number. Yeah, it's good to get out of that Del Rio, Rico Rodriguez discussion by
I actually got worried. I didn't know what that was going to be when you said this from Mark
Fantasia.
I'm
like, oh, great, Mark. Whose wife did you sleep with?
Uh-oh. So we've talked about a lot of different things today, and one thing I want to play this because I thought it was pure genius, and has a SummerSlam theme, but no, this is something that happened on Monday Night Raw.
Paul Heyman.
Ready? Here we go.
He's a 15-time champ, and he likes to have his fun, but not at your expense. So let us school you, son. No, we're not from West Newberry. No, we can't hip-hop like you. My client is the conqueror. I'm just Brock's advocating Jew. You see, my name is Paul Heyman, and my client is the Beast. And on the 17th of August, on your title, he shall feast. You don't like Paul Heyman guys. You think their attitude's too smug. You gonna beat Brock's ass 'cause you the doctor of the thugs? I mean, you've beaten all the best, but now Lesnar's on your plate. You say your time is now. Brock says your calendar's out of date. So here's some free advice with SummerSlam drawing near. Get it out your damn system when you say the champ is here. Because we're 6 days away from the West Coast's biggest arena. Where my client Brock Lesnar will conquer John Cena.
All right.
And that's why he's the best manager in the business.
I would love to hear him do the night before Christmas.
he's the best promo man they got.
And all through the house. I can just imagine him doing it. As soon as I heard him do it, he's like, is he going into a little hip-hop here? He needs a beat, you know, just a little bit of
and
one.
And wrestling doesn't get enough credit because, yes, it's a performance, but there are no cue cards for Paul Heyman. There's no earpiece in or anything like that. There's no teleprompter. Just fantastic work on the microphone week after week.
And that's one. You know, it's 100% memorization. I'd love to have talked to him about that. Maybe we will when we get him on. But, you know, let's do some news before we go to break real quick. Dean Ambrose is going to be starring in the next WWE Studio movie called Lockdown. Why do they name their pay-per-views, or they name their movies after TNA pay-per-views?
Because they can.
Yeah, because I remember Mick Foley's book, Countdown to Lockdown. You know, even though, I mean, the first time we ever saw the cover was on WWE, even though he was working for TNA at the time. But the movie's called Lockdown. It's going to be about a police officer who returns to duty after recovering from a gunshot wound to discover incriminating evidence of illegal activities against those closest to him. The guy who's making it, his name is Steven Reynolds, is the guy who did Tomb Raider Ascension. Did you ever see the second Tomb Raider movie?
There was a second one?
Yeah, that's not even the second one. I don't know what this one is.
Tomb Raider Ascension. Maybe it hasn't come out yet.
The second Tomb Raider. Yeah, here's my dork flag flying. The second Tomb Raider was Tomb Raider Cradle of Life.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe.
And there's the flag.
Yeah. Look
at
that.
It says $9.99 on it.
I like the helmet you wear so you don't bang your head against stuff, right? Okay. Nevertheless.
You know what? More people on my list. I guess I'm getting a haircut after the show.
Yeah, that was Steve, by the way, who said you had the mullet.
You won't be recognized as a drummer from Mark Fantasia anymore.
Yeah, that's right. But
become my own person.
Nevertheless.
I'm turning on you at the wedding tonight.
The movie
that just sounded wrong. Are we playing at a wedding tonight, just so you guys know?
It's the Mark Fantasia. The drummer from Mark Fantasia. Okay.
Mark Fantasia and Mark
The production
Fantasia,
for the
guys.
Movie
Ladies
starts.
And gentlemen, we are Mark Fantasia.
The production, it's like The Rock. It's almost in a third person. Production starts this month on the movie, so it might give you a hint about what's going to happen with Dean Ambrose, being that the movie starts. You know, but I'm looking forward to it. He's in a lumberjack match. You don't really get to see a lot of those too many times on TV
because they're horrible.
Or usually it's reserved for the lumberjills.
Lumberjills, but I want to throw that out there. That will be starting soon. And we'll talk about SummerSlam once we get back from break. So 222-1280 is the number, star 1280. If you want to chime in, we're going to talk about some of our favorite matches on the list and some that you might be a bathroom break match. So you're listening to Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
Sports 1280 WHTK and iHeart Radio Station.
Well, after seeing that, and that was amazing, and the way this ring is, and all these Hulkamaniacs in the WWE Universe, I think this is the first time I've ever been speechless, Mean Gene.
Yo, my name is Roddy Piper. I love Rochester. I love snow. I'm on a snowboard. I just go through eat it. But when I'm laying down, taking my time, relaxing, I never miss 1280 Pain Clinic, baby, because I can relate.
Don't say the bad S word yet, Roddy Piper. 222-1280, Starfleet is the number. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with the Artiste, Danger Boy. And the drummer from Mark Fantasia, and DC Dan Cole.
I think I'm just getting myself some donuts next week.
I'm sorry. I'm just having some fun. 222-1280 started. Mark, by the way, Mark Fantasia has left the building.
His ego wouldn't fit in the room anymore.
His head started getting bigger and bigger when he got a call on the pain clinic. 222-1280.
We were sure lying about that too.
Yeah, got some great texts. One said, "Can you get Luke Harper on? Would be cool to ask him a bunch of questions about the biz and road life." It would be. We've had. You know what? I'm gonna have to go and find some old shows when we had him on, and I'll post them so you can listen to some. I mean,
was he the most frequent guest to the pain clinic in history? Technically,
I don't. Yeah, if he was on for a full year, I guess every weekend. You know, but he wasn't a guest then. But nevertheless, but you know what? The last couple times we had him on was right after he came back from Japan. Remember, New Year's Day he came in here. It's like nobody wanted to do anything on New Year's Day, and he said, "Yeah, I'll come and hang out." It's like that was awesome. He was, you know, it was a lot of fun. So he's we'll go back. I'll go back and post him up on the Pain Clinic website, thepainclinic.net, and you can hear his name was Brody Lee then, and before his name was changed to Luke Harper, but he did tell about us that he was leaving for WWE, I believe, the last time we had him in the studio. So I remember Mr. Artiste, you were here. I know it was just you, me, and him, I think, that last time. So, you know, so
remember one of those
as for getting him on now, the office doesn't let him do that.
Yeah, we tried to do that before when they came back in town back in May, and because a friend of mine from the DNC wanted to do a story on him. And I gave him a name to contact, and they said that right now he's not an interviewable guy because...
It doesn't make sense for his character.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
No, you know, I mean, that's what, you know, unless you went the crazy eyes the whole time. You know?
It doesn't make good radio.
It doesn't make a good newspaper either. Actually, it might, you know. There's one picture. I ask him a question, there's nothing, you know. Just the crazy eyes. But 222-1280 Star Toys, the number if you want to give us a call. We got into the whole hour to go. And that was a great text. You can text us at that number, too. Women should not have a cleft. Now, that is another one I got from Chris from Brighton.
Are we back to this again?
We're talking about Stephanie McMahon's
cleft.
Can
we talk about how there's now Stephanie McMahon t-shirts on WWE Shop.com?
Yeah, that debuted.
Did you read the...
Steph for business.
Steph.
The text before that was, he hit the guy so hard, he would have knocked the cleft off Stephanie's chin.
Thank you, Chris from Brighton.
Stephanie McMahon is hotter than 98% of the divas on the roster.
That's not saying much for the divas.
Yeah. Who's that lemon
guy? She's hotter than Eva Marie.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Eva Marie had the brown hair?
No.
She had black hair.
The very first episode, because it was too close to Nikki Bella's. That's why they made her dye it red. But she's absolutely gorgeous. She's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, personality-wise, no, I don't care. But you know what? No. We're not going to get into that now because that'll come when we're talking about the matches.
Rosa Mendez.
222-1280 Star 1280 is the number. You can text us. These are some fun texts. This guy, Chris from Brighton, we should have you up in the studio someday, bro, because you just definitely have some things you want to say. You definitely have some stuff you want to say. But anyone can text us at that number, 222-1280. And let's talk about SummerSlam. SummerSlam is tomorrow night. It is the WrestleMania of the summer. You know, starting from the bottom, we've got the Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins. It's a lumberjack match.
Show stealer.
You think so? First match of the night.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the first match of the night.
Oh, just because I have it at the bottom of the list? Okay. Where are the Bray Wyatt's guys? Are they wrestling on the dark match?
No, the dark match is Cesaro Van Dam.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think they actually have a match.
Really?
Yeah, that's the most disappointing part.
And they're banned from ringside.
Which means they'll be out there sometime during that match.
But who also does not have a match are the Usos. So, I don't know.
I heard at one time they were going to have a four-way tag title on the dark match.
And they should, so Stardust can win a title and I can get 14 points out of it.
No. Stardust should win nothing ever because that gimmick is terrible.
Star Rider. No.
I kind of understand it in a way, but the fact that they built up Harper and Rowan so much, and they came so close to winning the tag titles, that 2 out of 3 falls match and everything, and then, oh yeah, it's the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, and we're not defending the tag titles. It was like, what was that, like 9 WrestleManias in a row where they did not defend the Intercontinental title. Like, those matches should be important enough. I don't know.
No, I agree.
It bothers me that there's not a tag title match listed for tomorrow.
Oh, no, I agree 100%. And, you know, the interesting...
Take out Orton versus Reigns. I don't care about that
but
at all.
Did you see on SmackDown last night, the last match of the night was Luke Harper versus Mark Henry.
Right.
And
so it's the last televised match before the pay-per-view.
Yes.
And neither one of those guys are on the pay-per-view.
Neither of those teams are on the pay-per-view. Yep. You're not going to see Big Show and Mark Henry. You're not going to see... But I got to think that there's, with the limited number of matches we're seeing here, they're going to work them in somehow. I think they got to put them.
They got 8 announced.
Maybe Brie and Stephanie.
They had 11 on the last pay-per-view, so I'm thinking that. Yeah, I mean, the women's match short, hopefully. You know,
both of them.
But yeah. Well, I don't know because I think you know as Daniel Bryan was interviewed, he said that his wife's in a semi-main event. So that would be Stephanie and Brie Bella in the semi-main event.
Oh, that'll definitely be that'll be.
Well, they're giving him so much TV time to build this up,
and it's over like Rover. The crowd is eating this up; they're loving it. I can't wait for that match.
I don't know. You can't wait.
It's not going to be good wrestling, but it's a good story.
I like how they finally point out Stephanie. You haven't been in the ring in 10 years. Which she hasn't. That's what Michael Cole did, the sit-down interview with her on SmackDown yesterday. And she goes, I know what you're trying to make me, you're trying to get me uncomfortable so that I say things I shouldn't say. And during the interview, it was terrible.
And I know we had talked about it a little bit earlier, too, but the angle was going great. Did they really need to do the affair thing?
No.
That added nothing. If anything, it blemished the whole storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And it just allowed Stephanie to be evil by going, and doing the crazy laugh and stuff.
But she didn't need to. It was unnecessary.
Yeah, it was a little uncomfortable.
Claire Lynch
it was,
needed a
it
job.
It was unnecessary in an uncomfortable way, in an Orndorff way.
Yeah.
Is that what that's going to be now? It's an Orndorff way?
So uncomfortable. I can't watch
it's going to be the equivalent of, like, Munson from Kingpin.
Yes.
Man, it feels so Orndorff-y.
So we started by talking about Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, and you guys don't seem to care too much about this match.
It's going to be a great match.
I do. Okay. You know, you've built it up with so long where these guys, like, you know, Ambrose can't get his hands on Rollins. Now he's got a lumberjack match where Rollins can't go anywhere. I think it's a perfect stipulation.
Yeah, it is. And we get to see the best of both guys, and I'm sure they will probably burn the house down. I'm definitely looking forward to that. Then we got The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler.
Solid.
You know, Dolph Ziggler's been very solid. They've given him wins on TV after having him lose for like a year straight since he won.
Ziggler will lose again tomorrow.
I don't know.
The Miz just got the title, and they're kind of giving him a little bit of a push.
Allowing him to do commentary. I mean, that they also, he did wrestle in the main event.
WrestleMania?
No, that was a few years ago. But I mean, also the main of Raw wasn't. No, what was the show that he was wrestling in?
He wrestled Roman Reigns.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah, he wrestled Roman Reigns yesterday. So he's getting some good time out
there.
Thank
you for my 5 points.
Yeah, and then we got Randy Orton and Roman Reigns. No one seems to care. You know what? Randy Orton just makes faces. That's about it. You know,
Roman Reigns so grunt.
Roman Reigns.
Randy Orton is so stale. I don't understand how anybody could scream their heart out for him every match of his because he's so stale.
It's interesting, though, because it's like Roman Reigns is where Randy Orton was where he first got in, and they were trying to push the hell out of him. Yeah. Now Roman Reigns can see what lies ahead.
Roman Reigns can't give great RNN updates.
But to be honest with you, I liked Randy Orton in the beginning when they were shoving him down our throats.
I did too. He was great. Yeah. And they broke his shoulder or whatever. He did the RNN updates.
Yeah, he dislocated something in his shoulder.
And then something just happened where he just became the most boring.
It's when he cut his hair.
And then nothing changed for a decade.
It's when he cut his hair.
Well, we just kept getting the same two guys taking each other on. They were saying, yes, you've elevated up to top, but you can't take on Cena every pay-per-view for a year.
They actually had a stipulation where it was their last match, and they fought since.
I know, they have fought since. And it's like, you know what? Since then, we had guys like CM Punk and like guys like Daniel Bryan get moved up into that upper echelon, and we got some great matches on pay-per-views from those guys in the past year, and now both of them aren't there anymore, and they were back to the same old, you know? I mean, if you brought Triple H back, it'd throw another same old into the whole deal. I just think that, you know, they're using the same interchangeable parts with different partners, it seems at times. And I don't, you know what, and Roman Reigns, I'm just not sold on the guy. I apologize if he hears this, even though he had a bug in his food, you know, at Wendy's, when he was at Wendy's yesterday in Los Angeles, and he tweeted about it. Or not Wendy's, I'm sorry, it was a nice restaurant.
And then the manager,
kicked him out or something, yeah. And then Billy Kidman tweeted something about how, what was it? He said something that obviously Roman Reigns didn't get the joke. Oh, about how he, you know, free meals don't, you know, you can't always get a free meal whenever you go to a restaurant. And Roman Reigns goes, I have bank, don't worry. And he
didn't get the joke.
Then Billy Kidman came back a minute later and said, oh, I guess people just don't have a sense of humor on Twitter.
Then Billy Kidman got Superman punched.
Yeah, Superman punched, and we'll never see him again. Billy who? Billy Kidman used to be WCW. Yeah, he actually worked a program with Hulk Hogan. Yes, in Rochester we saw him wrestle. Yep. Oh, my gosh, it was that long ago. We've been doing this show since 1998. So, I mean, it's been a long time. You know, a lot of things have changed. The next matchup is a championship match for the women. Got AJ Lee versus Paige. Don't care. Paige isn't doing anything.
This thing is very weird.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Which is what they're going for, but yeah. I just don't.
It's very Orndorff-y.
It is. It's a little uncomfortable, the build for this match. I don't know. Who are you supposed to root for?
Well, I know, and Paige is always apologizing. Obviously, it's a heel move for her every time. I mean, AJ comes back, and for all the healing out she did for the past year, all of a sudden it's completely forgot.
I'll tell you what, though. I bet you those two are really going to step it up knowing that Brie and Stephanie are having a match. And if they actually let them have a match and not just one of these 2 to 3 minute quick roll-up crap matches.
Well, I would assume AJ and Paige will probably be on, like, second. So, yeah, I give them on the sheet, it'll probably be 3 to 4.
Really?
Enjoy your 3 to 4.
Really?
Make the most of it.
I kind of agree, and I think that's the way, unfortunately, the champ doesn't get that much, and I bet you Stephanie and Brie Bella get three times as much.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, so we're going to get that.
It's the best built-up story, though. For a while, I mean, Swagger and Rusev would be in that category, but which of these men? They've built up Stephanie and Brie more than Cena and Lesnar, it feels like.
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, they've actually had in-ring confrontations. Cena and Lesnar have had nothing really in-ring. Maybe once.
Lesnar's not always there because he's a part-timer.
Yeah, that's right. And he just gets a Paul Heyman to come out.
Actually, Cena's been there less than Lesnar.
Yeah. Cena hasn't been there for two straight weeks until last week. 222-1280, star 1280. You want to give us an opinion on SummerSlam? We still got the rest of the card to go, but we got to go to break. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
Party's over, Grandpa.
I'm WWE superstar John Cena, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports Radio 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man, Richie Rich, here with Danger Boy, DC Dan Cole, also known as Mark Fantasia Drummer, and the Artiste. I know, it's a good joke. I'll stop beating it to death. I want you to know we're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. We're going to be out at WWE SummerSlam tomorrow night at Salvatore's in the Garage Door. Why don't you come down and watch it with us? We'll have a great time, I promise you that. It's the WrestleMania of the summer. It's SummerSlam, 149 East Ridge Road. It starts at 8. I'd get there early so you get a good seat. We'll be out there hanging out, possibly giving some stuff away. There's a good chance that'll happen. And I hope you'll have a great time with us. I got some Pain Clinic t-shirts I might as well bring to give away. So if you don't have a t-shirt, you might walk out with one. So that's tomorrow at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. You can join us for SummerSlam, WWE SummerSlam. And we got a special guest on the line. We got a couple phone calls real quick. This is our friend Mike Moran. Mike, you there, buddy?
Yes, sir. Hi, Richie.
Mike Moran, the man who he's Alzheimer's Association fundraiser. And why don't you tell us a little bit about it? Maybe people can find a way to donate to your cause.
Well, thanks, Rich, for having me on. Thanks, guys, for giving me up some time to take away from wrestling to talk about roller coasters for a bit, if you could.
We certainly can, sir.
The Alzheimer's Association has their walk to end Alzheimer's every year, all over the country. Different walks are going on, and I participated in that for the past 3 years. Unfortunately, my brother passed away of Alzheimer's in 2012, and that was the first year I took part in the walk. And you know, I raised money from my friends. I begged all my friends for some money for the walk, and I made a good amount of money for the Alzheimer's Association. But when my brother passed away, I was like, you know, how many times can I ask the same people for money? So I got to think of something new. My brother had early onset Alzheimer's, passed away at age 54. So he was still vibrant right up until the end. He was an avid roller coaster rider. He would ride all roller coasters all over the place. He would, his profession by trade was a tax lawyer, so he would travel for the Thompson Publishing or whatever the law book publisher is. And anywhere he went, he would seek out a theme park or a roller coaster. And he's probably got 500 roller coasters to his credit. So I thought, you know, instead of walking is pretty boring. And like I said, how many times can I ask the same people for money? So let me see if I can ride hundreds of roller coasters and take donations from people along the way on a per-ride basis. So that's exactly what I did. Now, I'm not exactly, or I wasn't at the time, a big roller coaster fan. I mean, I would ride the Jackrabbit and, you know, the Seabreeze style, the small ones. But the big ones, wasn't necessarily my favorite. So I'd put my big boy pants on and traveled to all over Great Adventure, New Jersey, the Jersey Shore, Cedar Point finally this year. This year I'm up to 111 roller coasters since Mother's Day. And the way it works is people will pledge an amount, $1 a ride, a quarter a ride, whatever it is. And then when the time of the walk comes in October, you make that donation to my walk. You know, well, $1 times 111, $111. So I figured I can get 30 or 40 people to contribute that way and get $3,000 or $4,000 for Alzheimer's research and caregiving needs. Last year, our very good mutual friend Sam Fantuzzo from Salvatore's matched every donation I had, and we donated $9,000, almost $10,000 to the Alzheimer's Association.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't want to say it broke him, but he was like, dude, I was expecting you to make $2,000. What's going on with the $9,000?
You set a precedent there. You set a precedent.
Yeah, so he wasn't, he's going to make a donation, but he's not matching everything this year. I think this year we'll probably get about $5,000 after all is said and done. Like I said, I got about 30 or 40 people that are contributing, and I'm up to 111 so far. Monday I'm going back to Canada's Wonderland. Because earlier in the summer, when I got rained out there and only got in probably 6 or 7 rides of the 14. So I expect by the end of the summer, I'll have about 150 roller coasters in under my belt. And, you know, times that by 30 and times that by a dollar, and that's about $45,000.
Very good. That's very awesome. Now, how can people who are listening to this show, and by the way, Mike is the webmaster extraordinaire for the Kick This Show, for the Touch 'Em All, and as well as for the Pain Clinic. You check out our Pain Clinic site. This is this man's creation. And he's been very helpful. He's a great guy. And how can people donate to your cause?
Hey, guess what? There's a website.
I'm not surprised.
Actually, there isn't. There is a website, but it'll just take you to my Facebook page.
Okay.
ALZ, as in Alzheimer's, ALZCoasterCrawl.com. ALZCoasterCrawl.com.
Okay.
And that will take you right to the Facebook page. You just like me there and post on the wall how much you're willing to pledge, and we'll do the math in September and get back to you with what your donation will be. And like I said, I'm probably going to get 150 rides in, so don't say you're going to give $100 per coaster, because that's a lot of money. You know, anywhere from a quarter to a dollar up to $5, I think, would probably be a good donation per ride. And hopefully I can get 150 rides in this summer.
Very cool, Mike. Well, thank you so much for calling in and telling us about that, because it's a wonderful thing you're doing. And, you know, it's kind of, I've done a lot. I have one that I donate, I go for it too. We all have our own charities that we do things for, and yours is a beautiful one, you know, and touches you so close and a lot of people in this area. So thanks for coming on and telling us about it.
Richard, let me just say, ice buckets are for wimps. Ride roller coasters.
That's what I say too, sir. That's what I say exactly. So thanks for coming on, brother.
All right, Richie, we'll talk to you.
Thank you. Okay.
We just got a celebrity retweet.
I know, I saw that. Vince Russo is listening.
Vince Russo's listening, or at least paying attention to our Twitter.
I'm trying to get Vince to come on and talk about his website and stuff. But we got a special guest on the phone with us right now. It is Andrew the Authority Joseph. Good morning, Andrew.
You know what, Rich? That music is just too sweet. And how many people marked out when Scott Hall and Kevin Nash got in the ring with Hulk Hogan, the gentleman who started the NWO? By the way, Scott Hall and Sean Waltman are doing something in Avon, Ohio, not too far from Rochester. They're doing a thing with Lake Erie Crushers and American Revolution Wrestling. So the NWO is still in effect. But get to notice one thing. When Brock Lesnar went around and stood and stared down all of the legends in the ring who were celebrating Hulk's birthday. By the way, WWE, that video production was incredible.
Yeah, it was
absolutely
beautiful.
Amazing. Did you notice Kevin Nash didn't take a step back? He wasn't intimidated by Brock Lesnar.
Do you notice Roddy Piper got pushed by Brock Lesnar? Did you notice that he, like, just walked into him a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. It's like,
But you mentioned something about Billy Kidman. I don't know if you guys remember. Rich, you probably know this because you're as much of authority as me. Kidman was trained by AFA, Wild Samoan. So he's probably known Roman Reigns since he was in diapers.
Oh, yeah, Pete Gruner. I mean, remember we were talking about Billy Kidman when we were down there visiting AFA's WXW there.
Speaking of guys we knew, remember the name PN News?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, when Paul Heyman was the color commentator for WCW Saturday Night and PN News was doing his big rap gimmick, you know, Paul Heyman's an old school rapper. Back in the day, he used to do mocking raps of PN News when he was on that show. So, and he goes all the way back to, actually, his first pictures were with Lou Albano, Fred Blassie, and the Grand Wizard when he was just a teenager in Scarsdale going to see WWF events.
He used to walk in the locker room like he owned the place and no one would stop him.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Have you watched the DVD, Andrew?
I've not seen it yet.
Oh, you're going to love it. I heard it's absolutely fantastic. I mentioned you earlier because you bumped into him. Remember at, at a hotel when
it was the Marriott Hotel in Buffalo when ECW did their November to Remember there. What a show that was. And I talked to him for a few minutes and
we met a lot of the guys that weekend. It was a great event. And, you know, Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff are the guys who saved wrestling in this country from the TL Hoppers and the Duke the Dumpster Drosies and the Mantars that Vince McMahon was putting out back in the early 90s.
But yeah.
You mentioned Fantasia. I got to give the plug here. You know, I was watching the WWE Network this morning. And I always watch it right, for $9.99. And I was watching the old world-class championship wrestling archives they have on that site. And, boy, you want to see some heat, watch the Von Erichs against the Freebirds. That is heat when you see those two legendary teams going against each other. What great matches they had. But I got to mention about SummerSlam. You know, you guys talking about it, and you know, you mentioned about our good friend Luke Harper. He'll probably be one of the Lumberjacks. I wouldn't be surprised in that Lumberjack match.
He'll have a job there. But I wish he was wrestling. I wish that they give him a main event on SmackDown last night, and then they don't even put him on the card.
He'll get his turn. Believe me, he's going to be a big star. We are so proud of him because he's a guy we knew from the very beginning when he started in wrestling back in the old Samurai Dojo.
Samurai Dojo Martial Arts, HB2.
That's right. So we're all very proud of him as of Rochester's latest beat person in the WWE with Gorilla Monsoon in China, of course. And the main event is what I think everyone's talking about. You know, John Cena and Brock Lesnar. And by the way, Danger, I got to give you props. You mentioned, but I was going to say that John Cena is more of a part-timer than Brock Lesnar is, because all he is out making movies while Brock is training every day or working on his farm with his lovely wife, Rena.
Rena, who just turned 47, I believe, recently.
And looks like she's 21,
she
probably.
Super gorgeous.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the match everyone's going to see. It's a main event show, and, you know, I can't imagine Brock losing this. I mean, I think
he beat the Undertaker. He should have won the title the next night if he was going to stay around.
Well, that's the thing. He was part time, and the question is, if he does win the title, is he going to be more active on television and maybe going to house shows? I mean, that's something we'll have to see. But remember, Cena beat him 2 years ago, so it's been waiting 2 years for the rematch for him to get his victory back. And I think if he does win, he's going to hold the title for a while, and WrestleMania time, we may see the rematch, and if it happens, then Undertaker can get his win back and retire as the champion, much like Edge did.
Oh, that would be very nice. I would love to see that. That I mean, we were just kind of theorizing that earlier, and it's like, I think that would be pretty cool. I think that, you know, that's the thing about the wrestlers is there's always, you know, the payback. I put you over, you put me over. I'm just believing that there's still, I can't think Brock is going to go on the road full time after he wins, if he wins. I think that, but there's a money in the bank still floating around, you know?
He's not going to do house shows.
Yeah, he's not going to do, I didn't think he'd do house shows. He hated travel. That's why he left wrestling. Because he went to MMA because he hated the travel.
Let me throw this out there. What if Brock wins Monday night, says, I have nothing more to prove, just drops the title and walks away?
That buries everything even more.
The thing is, he's got people who he could fight. I mean, Roman Reigns, I think, will win over Randy, and then Roman Reigns would be the next challenger. And, you know, it's a guy who's, you know, big guy, played football, you know, is legitimately, you know, the size of Brock. He would be a legitimate challenger.
Too bad he can't wrestle.
Yeah, well, Brock can fight. Brock can do anything. Sure. Brock is the best athlete this company has. I mean, he's unbelievable. For the guy, his size, he's amazing. I mean, he could still be in UFC if it wasn't for the diverticulitis that took him down. He probably would still be in Ultimate Fighting.
And they think he could go back, too. There's a lot of talk about possibly him, maybe when the contract's up, going back. So
Let me throw out a dream match for you guys and tell me what you think.
Okay.
You know, there's one guy who is also from Rochester, by the way, who has never fought in New York State because MMA is illegal in this state. What would you think of the WWE actually tried to go after John Bones Jones?
Oh, my. You know, he definitely has the heel persona, even in UFC. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I think I've heard talks of them looking at some of the guys. I mean, they would have to pay him really, really well. He would love it. He loves wrestling. I mean, he likes wrestling.
I heard he's actually reached out to Heyman, too, to work on some speaking.
Interesting.
To start embracing this heel persona that he just gained because people hate him.
He and it's just because he's cocky and he dropped a guy up in Toronto, and that's when it all started, I think. You know, Loyola Machida, he he choked him out, and then he just dropped him.
And I don't think he realized he did it either.
Yeah, I don't think he realized he did it, but he got booed after that. So it was like,
doesn't know his own strength.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a great guy too. He's another guy I've talked to. So I would love to see him. I mean, you know, it depends. I mean, he's got so many different matchups in UFC that I don't think that's one of those things. Is I think the guy who runs Dana White, he runs UFC. I don't think he let any of his marquee guys ever go. I don't think ever. I mean,
Vince is having money problems. I don't. Did you hear the story about how they are eliminated the travel bus for the guys who set the ring up?
Yeah, I've heard that. They used to have, they said you're on your own now. They used to have the ring crew. They would go. I mean, they would basically leave a show at 2 or 3 in the morning, go to the next place and set up, and then go to sleep after that. And now they're going to have to do that on their own, unless they want to ride in the back of an 18-wheeler. You know,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hopefully the company. We want the WWE to do well. We want wrestling to be, prominent in our culture. And when Vince is the only game in town, he's losing $50-60 million. It's going to affect the product, and it's sad. But so we buy the network for $9.99. It's worth every penny.
And you know what? And you know what? This will boomerang back, and they'll make their money back eventually. It's just slow.
It's all
slow
startup costs and
all
that.
Slow, yeah, it's slow growth. You know, it's slow growth for the. And some of the things they're doing on the network are well worth getting it too. When now they're putting up some older programs,
and now you can get it on your smart TVs.
Thank God.
Yeah. So Andrew, thanks for calling, bro. We got to go to break. Why don't you come out to Salvatore's tomorrow night? Hang out with us, bro.
I'll see what I can do.
See if you can the Mrs. Authority will let the reins loose a little bit. You know.
Don't mess with Mrs. Authority. She's probably listening right now.
Right, you take easy, brother.
See you later.
Okay. 222-1280 Star Toys. Remember, we got one last segment. We'll finish up all the matches. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHDK. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. We're going old school WWF SummerSlam theme. Same one they used for 4 years, from 1990 to 1994.
Now we just need Vince McMahon cutting the promo.
Rob, you can do it. Rob, come on, Rob, do it. You can do Vince McMahon.
You did it
last week on the show.
Unbelievable!
Very good. 222-1280, Star 1280. We just got a couple minutes left, folks. We got to go through the rest of these matches real quick. Next up, Jack Swagger versus Rusev. Flag match. Putin.
I'm hungry now.
You know what's funny is Putin was the answer for the Jeopardy question, I think, on Friday. And that's all I could think of was it was her saying Putin when it was the answer. Okay, so nevertheless, Jack Swagger versus a Rusev flag match. You know, guys don't care, huh?
It might be a sleeper match.
I feel like it lost a little bit of its build-up in the last couple of weeks. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. It was built up so well. I think it'll still be a good match. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. It's a flag match, and it's always some sort of patriotic flag thing going on.
That way Rusev doesn't have to be pinned either.
Right. So this is a nice way for Swagger to get a win, but it doesn't make Rusev look bad.
That's true. So, and then, okay, then up we get the three main events. I'll say one of the three main events. First being Bria Bella versus Stephanie McMahon. We know how y'all feel about that.
Don't care.
Yeah, I think Bria Bella wins.
Key break.
Yeah, I think
Nikki turns heel. Nikki, Stephanie goes over.
Okay, Nikki, that's what you think, huh?
Well, Stephanie's going to win.
Yeah. Oh, you think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a bathroom break match. Okay, then we got Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho, which, according to Vince Russo, who tweeted, that will be the match of the night. I think it will, too. Chris Jericho is very innovative in the ring. Chris Jericho is, he always sets up great matches, and Bray Wyatt, they always say he's got that third gear, so he can go like a good 20 minutes and then be fresh still. And we can't have Luke Harper nor Eric Rowan ringside. So I don't know. I think
they should do it the old school way and put him in cages up above the ring.
This is going to be, I'm going to say Wyatt's going to win this because I think Jericho won the last one. And I think this will probably be the blow-off match of the feud, because then Jericho's got all those concert dates coming up in another month or so, starting in September, I think, when he'll be in Rochester October 10th.
Yes.
So don't forget that. He's going to be, and he'll also be doing an appearance that day at the Record Archive. The guy who wears the big record, Record Archive. Chris Jericho's going to be. I'm definitely looking. Yeah, use CDs. You can do all sorts of things there. And you can meet Chris Jericho there.
Yes.
Check it out, Record Archive, on your Facebook. It'll give you the rules about that. And then, of course, the main event, John Cena, Brock Lesnar. I think maybe I agree with Andrew. This will be the return favor back, I guess. And I think Brock Lesnar wins it. I don't know if he really is going to have a run. He's not going to do house shows. Maybe they could give it to him a month or two, maybe. Or they could just immediately have someone cash in and end it.
Yeah, but a heel cashing in on a heel, I just don't see.
Yeah, that's true. But
more likely that maybe Cena beats Brock and then Rollins cashes in. Because Rollins and Ambrose can be the first match of the night. You kind of forget about Rollins a little bit. Cena ends up beating Brock, and then Rollins comes out and ends the night.
I will say that maybe Rollins will win in that scenario if he loses the early match then.
I don't see Rollins cashing in and winning.
No.
Okay. Not at this point.
No, I agree. He's not at that level, but it would be better than, to me, that's still much better than Cena retaining and better than part-time or winning.
Brock has to win.
Brock's going
to
win.
I think Brock has to win, so we'll see what happens.
If you thought people were butthurt about The Undertaker losing at WrestleMania to Brock Lesnar, imagine if they waste that momentum on having Cena beat Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, Lesnar hasn't wrestled a match since WrestleMania, so I mean...
I'd be fine with it. I'm going to say this right now. Let's go, Cena.
Oh, no. 2-2-2-12-80. So, well, we got a minute
went there in August of 2014. I'm rooting for the full-timer, the company man.
All right. Well, we're done for the day, guys. We're going to go out with a little Rusev music. But next week, Tito Santana is going to be joining us. He's going to be in Rochester at the Red Wings game next Saturday. He's going to call in, and we're going to talk with him, promote that a little bit. He's going to be at Ernie O's show out at... in Webster on Sunday. We'll have plenty of details about it next week, but get your Tito Santana questions ready, and I hope you join us Sunday night at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road, for SummerSlam.
Free hugs.
Yeah, free hugs by... Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Chocolate chip cookies.
And that too. 2-2-2-12. No free chocolate chip cookies, just chocolate chip cookies. 2-2-2-12. All right, we got to get out of here. Thank you for listening. Check out us online. I'm going to put up some of those old... Brody Lee interviews on thepainclinic.net. Be our friend on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And we will see you guys next week with Tito Santana. Arriba!